Tonight on the Worldview Report, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau conflates anti-Semitism with Islamophobia. The Australian government has recently introduced in Parliament a new law, and this proposal is to ban all online content that is not approved by the government. Elon Musk is looking for his first human guinea pig to take his Neuralink chip inside their brain. We may finally have an answer as to why male sperm counts are their lowest levels in recorded history. And Pope Francis cans another conservative Catholic bishop. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. The corporate media outlet, The Washington Post, has retracted a cartoon by award-winning political cartoonist Michael Ramirez after readers and newspaper staffers called it racist. The cartoon mocks the terrorist group Hamas for hiding behind human shields, including women and children. The snowflakes have spoken, and The Washington Post caved. The Washington Free Beacon reports that Sally Busby, the executive editor of The Post, sent an email to staff members Wednesday night acknowledging their, quote, many deep concerns and conversations, end quote, about a cartoon criticizing Hamas that the newspaper earlier in the day published and then deleted. In the email obtained by Washington Free Beacon, Busby wrote, quote, "Dear colleagues, given the many deep concerns and conversations today in our newsroom, I wanted to ensure everyone saw the notes sent out tonight by the Post's opinions editor, David Shipley, to Post readers and to his staff in opinions. My best, Sally." Busby forwarded an email that Shipley had sent opinion staff in which he said he had personally, quote, taken down, end quote, the cartoon. Shipley included the full text of an editor's note in which he publicly expressed, quote, regret, end quote, that he had, quote, missed something profound and divisive, end quote, in the publishing of the image. Quote, "A cartoon published by Michael Ramirez on the war in Gaza, a cartoon whose publication I approved, was seen by many readers as racist. This was not my intent. I saw the drawing as a caricature of a specific individual, the Hamas spokesperson, who celebrated the attacks on unnamed civilians in Israel," end quote. That's what Shipley wrote. Remember, this is a cartoon that ran on the opinions page. Opinions, by their very nature, are divisive, so-called. So, don't believe this account for one second. This is malarkey. The real reason the cartoon was taken down was because it was critical of the Islamic jihadist, their Jew-hating organization, Hamas. Here's the supposedly offensive cartoon. Breitbart reports that Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau addressed an attack on two Jewish schools in Montreal last week and an attack on Jewish students at a university. But during his comments, Trudeau chose to spend as much time talking about Islamophobia as he did about the vicious anti-Semitism on full display in his country. Trudeau said at a press conference in Montreal on Thursday, quote, "Violence, hate, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and scenes such as the ones we saw in Concordia University or shots fired at Jewish schools overnight. All of that is unacceptable. We are seeing an increase in threats of violence. That's not who we are as Canadians," end quote. Well, here's a news flash, Mr. Trudeau. There was no evidence of Islamophobia at the crime scenes in Montreal, where students arrived for work at the Talmud Torah Elementary School and Yeshiva Gedola Post-Secondary School on Thursday morning to discover the front doors were riddled with bullets. Nor was there any Islamophobia going on at Concordia University, as you can see from this clip. Watch.
What kind of guard are you? What kind of guard? Okay. You're in our space.
Police said they recovered at least one shell casing from the Talmud Torah Elementary School. The schools were empty during the overnight hours, so thankfully no one got hurt. But the ominous message sent to the Jewish students and their parents, it was very clear. Watch your back. The mother of two boys enrolled at the Talmud Torah Elementary, well, she told the Montreal Gazette on Thursday, quote, "We were already worried. And now there's an action that happened that goes far beyond what we could have imagined. We're from France, and we fled anti-Semitism there. It's a bit of a shock to see we're also targeted here. We don't understand why a conflict tens of thousands of kilometers away is imported here. We have to be proud to be Jewish, but we're scared, that's for sure," end quote. The Montreal Gazette reported that parents were tearful, angry, and, quote, "visibly shaken," end quote, as they picked up their school children on Thursday from the school. The Times of Israel noted that Montreal police have recorded 73 hate crimes against Jews since the Hamas attack on October 7th, more than hate crimes reported against all other groups combined for the entirety of 2022. But Justin Trudeau and the Liberals in Canada, they are using the exact same talking points of Joe Biden and the Washington Uniparty. They continue to deceive by equating the real problem of anti-Semitism with so-called Islamophobia, which is a construct of the Muslim Brotherhood and its Marxist allies. Legal scholar Augusto Zimmerman, the head professor at the law school Sheridan Institute of Higher Education in Australia, reports that the Australian government has recently introduced in Parliament a new proposal to ban officially unapproved online content. Digital companies are expected to adopt a code of conduct which will see them censor speech based on, well, broad and vague and far-reaching directives. The Communications Legislation Amendment, I guess it's titled Combating Misinformation or Disinformation, Bill 2023, well, it foreshadows the imposition of a legal obligation on digital platforms to police alleged misinformation and disinformation. Notice the word alleged. If that does not work, the law proposes, well, full employment of the Australian Communications and Media Authority to directly intervene for the purpose of preventing harm. Section 2 of the proposal, well, it defines harm as, quote, "hatred against a group in Australian society on the basis of ethnicity, nationality, race, gender, sexual orientation, age, religion, or physical or mental disability, disruption of public order or society in Australia, harm to the integrity of Australian democratic processes or of Commonwealth, state, territory, or local government institutions, harm to the health of Australians, harm to the Australian environment, economic or financial harm to Australians, the Australian economy, or a sector of the Australian economy." The concept of so-called harm being peddled by the bill is so vague that really any content would be subject to be determined by a powerful government agency as to whether it's acceptable or not. The definition of what is and what isn't harmful, well, it's open to interpretation and can expand and, well, contract depending on the ACMA's prevailing views. But ultimately, any type of speech with which the government is uncomfortable could be deemed harmful to someone. For example, describing, quote, disrupting social order, end quote, as serious harm could be interpreted to stop the organization of legitimate political protest. This could certainly be used to suppress legitimate political speech that should be part of any free society. Above all, ACMA, they would gain sweeping powers to require any person to appear at a time and place of its choosing to answer questions about misinformation or disinformation. These powers include infringement notices, remedial directions, injunctions, and civil penalties, including fines of up to $358,000 for individuals and $2.75 million for companies. Criminal penalties, including imprisonment, may also apply in cases of alleged, quote, extreme harm, end quote. We'll be right back after this break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest Christmas sale ever. You get our brand new six-piece My Towels for only $29.98. Or rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper as low as $99.99. Or how about MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98? There's something for everyone. Duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. Well, I know MyPillow products make for the perfect Christmas gifts, so I'm going to extend my money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2024. So go to MyPillow.com now or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you get our six-piece towels for only $29.98. Or get your very own MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98. It's our biggest Christmas sale ever. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
Welcome back. Before we continue, let me once again thank you for supporting the Worldview Report. But not only the Worldview Report, all the shows we produce from this news desk and from this control room and studio. That includes the Worldview Report, Brandon House Live, Worldview Radio, 1 to 2 Central Time on 64 stations, and we produce it for TV. That also includes Worldview Weekend Hour, which is the Sunday night Bible class I've been teaching since 2015. That also includes Worldview Report Sunday, which airs now at its new time, Sunday morning, at 10 a.m. Central Time. I decided that 8 a.m. being on the air 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning is too early. I don't know why I chose that time originally. So I moved it this week to 10 a.m. Central. You can watch that show each and every Sunday at worldviewtube.com, worldviewtube.com. And then if you're not able to catch it when I'm live, as I was on Sunday, then you can catch it in the replay. What else do we produce here? Worldview Financial Report. These are just a few of the shows we produce. If you appreciate all the content we're producing and shoving out for free, and again, we could put it all behind a paywall and charge a pretty exorbitant amount for people to watch all of this, but we don't. We push it out for free for everybody to watch. And if you appreciate that, we need your support. WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. And by the way, don't forget about December 2nd and 3rd. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. We'll be producing a two-day share-a-thon as we are in our end-of-the-year giving. End-of-the-year giving is a big part of our budgets for 2024. We need to raise a certain amount from October 1st to December 31st to be ready to go into 2024 strong. So we're holding a two-day share-a-thon December 2nd and 3rd. We'll be live and in studio. Be with me, Leo Holman and Annie Cyrus, both associate producers with us. And we'll be sharing with you for the first time keynote presentations from our Ozarks Worldview Weekend from a few weeks ago, featuring General Michael Flynn, Dr. Peter McCullough, Alex Newman, Andy Woods, Colonel John Mills, Todd Bensman, Rebecca Walzer. It's going to be a great event. It's 2 days and it's live from this studio, December 2nd and 3rd at Worldview Tube. WorldviewTube.com. Please mark your calendar. But in the meantime, thank you for your support at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVW foundation.com as you help us push out biblical worldview programming to help people understand the times through the Judeo-Christian worldview and apply it to the areas of law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, and national security. WVWFoundation.com. The Western Journal reports that Pope Francis has removed another conservative American bishop. In the latest letter by Pope Francis, his latest testament to the left, well, he's removed Bishop Joseph Strickland from his role as Bishop of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. LifeSite News, which is a conservative Catholic news site, reported this removal under the headline, quote, "In removing Bishop Strickland from the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, Pope Francis has canceled one of the most faithful, forthright, and vocal bishops in the United States," end quote. The announcement came Saturday in the Holy See's Daily Bulletin. Quote, "The Holy Father has relieved from the pastoral governance of the Diocese of Tyler, USA, Joseph E. Strickland, and appointed the Bishop of Austin, Joseph Vasquez, as the apostolic administrator of the vacated diocese," end quote. Strickland had been asked to resign by Francis earlier this month. Strickland declined. So, in effect, Francis fired him. And what's his crime? Well, in July of 2022, according to LifeSite News, Strickland, well, he urged the Pope to refuse communion to then Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi over her support of legal abortion. LifeSite reported in May that Strickland also accused Francis of a, quote, "program of undermining the deposit of faith," end quote. And let's not forget Strickland's condemnation of the, quote, "blasphemy," end quote, of the Reverend James Martin, a radically pro-LGBTQ priest, which was reported by LifeSite News in June. So on Saturday, according to the New York Times, conservative Catholic podcaster Taylor Marshall said that he had spoken with Strickland and that there was, quote, "nothing salacious or scandalous," end quote, that involved Strickland's ouster. Well, this is just more of the same, folks, from the Vatican. Punish what remains of the conservative Catholic leadership around the world while rewarding those who carry the water of the Marxist Pope, which includes the gay mafia and the globalists. A proposed biomedical research lab in Colorado would bring together bats and deadly transmissible diseases in the name of research. That's according to a new report in the UK's Daily Mail. The project will cost $12 million in taxpayer dollars. In July, Colorado State University, they received a major piece of the funding through a $6.7 million federal grant from the National Institute of Health. That's according to CBS. The Daily Mail report said that the partnership also includes the discredited EcoHealth Alliance. EcoHealth is a longtime funding recipient of U.S. taxpayer cash during the days when the corrupt Dr. Anthony Fauci ran the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which was a partner in experimenting with the COVID-19 coronavirus in Wuhan, China. The Mail recipient said that the new biolab is scheduled to open in 2025 on the college's Fort Collins campus, but said no plans have been released to the public regarding the proposed 14,000-square-foot facility, which would study bats and highly transmissible viruses such as Ebola and coronaviruses. A college document from December said that researchers plan to, quote, "infect horseshoe bats with SARS-CoV-2 detected in these bats," end quote. That's what the Mail reported. Republican Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa is leading the opposition to the project, stating, quote, "We cannot allow any batty experiments of pandemic potential to be unleashed on our own shores. Americans have suffered enough from Fauci-funded risky research, which is why I am working to defund EcoHealth that funneled taxpayer dollars to the Chinese state-run Wuhan lab," end quote. Senator Ernst further stated, quote, The world cannot afford another lab leak, especially one on U.S. soil or near our military bases, end quote. The project was developed by EcoHealth and the National Institutes for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the college, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is suspected as the site of a leak that triggered the COVID pandemic. Justin Goodman, Senior Vice President of the watchdog group White Collar Way, said, quote, "These actors put in a considerable effort to establish the CSU bat facility over many years and exploited the COVID-19 pandemic to receive funding for it," end quote. The Mail said neither the college, EcoHealth, the NIH, or NIAID would comment on the report. Republican Congressman Matt Rosendahl of Montana said he opposes the project, just as he opposes research done on bats in his home state. Quote, "Taxpayers shouldn't be funding EcoHealth Alliance or the construction of new U.S. labs that import Asian bats for risky virus research that can cause a pandemic on U.S. soil," end quote. He said, quote, "My common sense amendments to the NIH's 2024 spending bill would undo some of the damage done by Anthony Fauci by defunding NIH research programs that he supported that put public health and national security at risk," end quote. Colorado's Libertarian Party has already dubbed the project a, quote, "bioweapons lab," end quote. That's according to the Denver Post. Although the United States has not formally entered the Israel-Hamas war, America nevertheless suffered its first casualties related to the conflict, and this happened on Saturday when five service members perished in an aircraft crash over the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, what was really reported to be during a routine training mission. All five, sadly, are presumed dead. The U.S. European Command said that the aircraft, quote, "suffered a mishap," end quote, and crashed into the sea during a routine air refueling mission. Search and rescue efforts began immediately, including nearby U.S. military aircraft and ships. All five service members on board the aircraft were determined to have died. An investigation into the crash is underway, though military officials have said that there are no indications that the U.S. aircraft came under hostile fire. Dr. Susan Burdick, Ph.D., reports that a Swiss study found high cell phone use was associated with reduced male fertility. But experts criticized the authors for speculating that newer phones emit less radiation and for their ties to a group aligned with telecom industry interest. Men who frequently use their cell phones may suffer from lower sperm counts than those who do not. That's according to a new Swiss study that adds, well, to the mounting body of evidence showing a link between cell phone use and decreased male fertility. The study found that men who use their cell phones more than 20 times a day had significantly lower sperm counts and decreased sperm concentrations, two critical measures of male fertility, than men who use their cell phones just once a week. These men had roughly 21% higher risk of sperm counts and 30% higher risk of sperm concentrations, falling below the World Health Organization's reference values for fertile men. The authors of the study, which tracked the health data and cell phone usage data of 2,886 young men from 2005 to 2018, said the link between cell phone use and lower sperm counts was, quote, "more pronounced in the first period of the study, 2005 and 2007, and decreased progressively over the subsequent time periods, 2008 to 2011 and 2012 to 2018, end quote. They attributed the differences to newer wireless technologies, which they said emit less radio frequency or RF radiation. Experts like Linhart Hardell, MD and PhD, and a world-renowned and leading scientist on cancer risk from radiation, well, he took issue with the author's suggestion that newer wireless technologies emit less radiation. Hardwell told the defender, quote, the authors gave an overgeneralized explanation that conveniently suited wireless companies' interests, end quote. Well, now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. Former FC Zurich soccer star Rafael Dawina, age 28, died suddenly after tragically collapsing during a league match in Albania. The soccer player from Ghana collapsed while participating in a game last week. According to reports, the 28-year-old player collapsed in the 23rd minute of the game. He was rushed to the hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. It has been reported that he, suffered a heart attack during the game. That's according to Ghana newspapers. Watch this.
Nërkoqë ka probleme, ka probleme. Ka probleme, dua mena. Ka probleme, dua mena. Ka probleme, dua mena. Do të vi ambulanca me shpejtësi. Mos. Duamena shëmbur për tokë. Duamena nuk është ndjerë mirë. Shikoni dëshpërimin e tovës dhe dëshpërimin e gjithë tribunës dhe gjithë publikut që papritur. Është një moment.
Duamena's death was mourned by his former clubs, including FC Zurich and the Ghana Football Association, or GFA, both of which released statements expressing their condolences. Again, it must be pointed out that almost all of these professional sports teams pressured and, in many cases, mandated their players to get the toxic COVID death jab. Every team owner, every coach, manager, and sports medicine practitioner who participated in that high-pressure process in 2021 and 2022, well, I think is complicit in crimes against humanity. That's my opinion, folks. But I think I'm supported by the facts. All you have to do is look at the numbers of young, super fit athletes who have died or suffered injury from cardiac arrest and strokes. We've reported on so many here. If we played back all the reports that I have given of young, healthy athletes dying, it would take hours. The numbers, they're way off the charts just in the last 2 years compared to previous years. This is what you would call a deviation. But the mainstream media and even the sports industry doesn't seem to be interested in asking if there's a correlation between the deaths and the COVID toxic death jab. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. Thanks for watching and thanks for supporting this viewer-supported broadcast. You can support us a few ways. One way is by going to twc.health/Brannon. twc.health/Brannon. And you can order what I have, which is four of these for my family that include essential medications. Now, this is a real prescription you're getting. So when you go to twc.health/Brannon, and you get one of these or more than one of these, be sure then to check your email because you're going to have to finish the paperwork because you are getting a real doctor's prescription for things like ivermectin, amoxicillin, and other antibiotics. These are things that you want to have in your prep plans for who knows what is coming, but something doesn't smell good for 2024. So get prepared, folks. twc.health/Brannon. You can also get prepared by going to wvwtvstore.com. wvwtvstore.com. There you'll find emergency freeze-dried food of all kinds, including emergency supplies. wvwtvstore.com. You can also use the phone number 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. You can also go to MyPillow.com and begin Christmas shopping. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. Please use the promo code B66. This gets you savings, and it's how they track that you heard about it from us, so we get a generous percent of each purchase. And that's a big part of our general operating budget as well. So all of these ways, well, they hopefully help us cover all the expenses that we need to keep this network going. So please consider one or all of these ways to help yourself, your family, your friends, and this network, which you've come to rely on. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. Well, until next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.